listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Wisconsin's parks and natural areas aren't always accessible to people with physical disabilities, but there are efforts to improve things. The founder of Access Ability Wisconsin tells us what's working well and where there's room for improvement. Now the first pay-what-you-can museum restaurant in Wisconsin, maybe the nation, just opened at the Madison Children's Museum. The restaurant is called Little John's Lunchbox. It's open to museum guests and anyone in the community. Jonathan Zerov is Director of Marketing Communications for the Madison Children's Museum. Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Hello, thanks for having us.
And Dave Heide is founder of Little John's, the nonprofit Pay What You Can restaurant. He's also executive chef at Liliana's. Chef Dave, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much. Good to be back.
Well, I think I talked to you a few years ago, and you're getting rolling with this Pay What You Can restaurant model. Can you talk about what motivated you to pursue that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think of a restaurateur as someone who makes a lot of money and does well, but we definitely had our struggles throughout all of it, and our whole family had a lot of food insecurity throughout the owning of the restaurant. So, you know, I think there's a, especially in Dane County where we are, I think there's a big kind of misconception that there isn't food insecurity because you don't see it everywhere, but there's actually a lot of food insecurity. The school that my youngest, John, goes to, 66% of the kids there are below the poverty line, with the majority of them experiencing food insecurity. So I think it was kind of to help get rid of that stigma of what food security looks like. And I think that's one of the reasons why the pairing works so well at the Children's Museum. You know, I know a lot of people see the Children's Museum and they see some families who have a lot of money and they're like, well, why would you go there? There are so many families in need. And I say, like, the Children's Museum is amazing because it's the same prospect that we go at, which is, you know, you can't tell what food insecurity looks like. It's the same thing with poverty. You can't tell what poverty looks like. So the Children's Museum has a ton of programs to help get people who don't have enough resources into the museum.
Jonathan, why was it important for the Madison Children's Museum to have this accessibility option, this pay-what-you-can meal option?
Well, Chef Dave says we've been concerned about accessibility and sustainability, which is also a shared value, for a long time. And we have programs like $1 admission, $15 memberships, a free first-time parent membership. All those are part of our Access for Everyone program. And we know that we run lately between 25 and 30% of our visitors are using one of those programs. So absolutely, there's need. And you can't play on an empty stomach. You can't play and learn well. You know, so our missions were so aligned that it just and we needed a cafe. Right. We had a cafe before the pandemic. We shut down. We hadn't figured out what kind of new cafe to have. So this was the perfect mission based kind of cafe. Whereas before we had kind of more of a revenue, you know, goal with it. Now this is very mission based.
And Chef Dave, talk us through. A parent comes in with their kids. They walk up to the restaurant. What do they see? What do they do?
See a three-door cooler that's filled with meals that are made every single day. We drop off at the Children's Museum. And then there's a microwave bank there that they can heat them up. And then there's a terminal where they can pay what they can, or there's a drop box for them to drop cash if they don't want to pay with credit. And it really is pay what you can. So the idea of pay what you can is that those who have can maybe help contribute a little bit more to help sustain our meals and help sustain the museum. And then those who don't have can pay what they can. So whether that's $100, which I think we had a couple people already pay $100 for a cookie, which is fantastic, or whether it's a dollar or whether it's nothing. The reason we wanted to have the terminals is because there is a barrier to food access if you've got a human you've got to interact with. So we wanted to have it be as accessible for anyone and to not have anyone feel judged if they want to get a fresh made from scratch meal for their kid.
And Jonathan, this just opened up late last week, I believe. What's the response been so far?
Well, we also had a soft open for a little bit. There were a lot of new things to work out for this because there's no models to really look to. But the response has been great. I think one of my favorite comments was, we love the ease and the mac and cheese. But a lot of people have pointed out that they just love that we're doing this, either, you know, because they need it or they just are so happy that we're doing it on behalf of the community. Really, it's all been positive.
And Chef Dave, I know another part of this story is food waste. You don't like it. And sustainability, you do like that. How is that showing up at this Little John's Pay What You Can restaurant?
Oh, it's been great. So our mission at Little John's is we create access with excess. So Americans throw away 40% of all food produced in the United States, and that's pre-consumer. So we work with grocery stores to take amazing produce and ingredients, which, to be honest, are even better than some of the stuff I can get at Liliana's, even the excess, and cook it and turn it into chef-made meals. So it's been really great. And I think, I know that there's the perception, the first off when you hear food excess, you think food waste or food garbage, and that's the opposite of what we're getting. We're getting like amazing dairy, amazing produce, proteins, and the food tastes great. And if you don't believe me, come try a meal at the Children's Museum.
And Jonathan, as we wrap up, if somebody's listening and they run, maybe it's a museum or other institution and thinking, hey, this is something our community could use, what would you suggest to them on getting started?
They should probably talk to us because there weren't a lot of people to talk to. I mean, even the payment system, most of them are retail or their donations. And this sort of has to blend them both. We'd be happy to talk to people about it. But it's been going really well, and we really haven't had problems with it, and it's just had an excellent reception.
Jonathan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Chef Dave, good to talk to you. Hope we can get you on a Food Friday again sometime.
Anytime. Literally anytime. Love chatting with you guys.
We're talking to Dave Heide, chef and founder of the new Pay What You Can restaurant and nonprofit Little John's. He's also executive chef at the restaurant Liliana's. And Jonathan Zeroff, director of marketing communications for the Madison Children's Museum. They join us to talk about the first Pay What You Can restaurant in a Wisconsin museum, possibly the first one in any museum in the country. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Mary Kate McCoy with a story about embracing adventure and letting go.
You don't have to travel far to find adventure. Writer Jill Susan Quinn and her son recently spent an afternoon at a local park where he had a run-in with both stinging nettle and a fallen log, causing her to reflect on the lessons to be found in independence and letting go.
I take my son to Stedman Wayside Park in Portage County. I happened upon it once 15 years ago and haven't been there since. That was after I'd just moved to Wisconsin from a place and at an age where I measured hikes in tens of miles and thousands of feet in elevation gain. Stedman's trailless 24 acres, with its single grill and picnic table, was a puzzle I was not equipped at the time to understand. Now the mother of a 7-year-old, my priorities have changed. As soon as he steps from the car, my son begins to forge a path downstream from the Tomorrow River's small waterfall, alternating between the riverbank's deep mud and lush foliage and the water's large rocks and fallen logs. I point out skunk cabbage and tear off a section of leaf for him to smell. He points out a tiny shoot of crystal clear water pouring from the steep hillside beneath a tree's raised roots. All of a sudden, I notice the underside of his forearm is covered with alarming red dots. My eye glides over to a jagged-leaved plant. "Stinging nettle!" I exclaim. He's seen it before, but this is his first time touching it. We kneel down and cover his arm in black mud from the river's bottom. I pick off a few stems of jewelweed and offer the plant's aloe-like salve, but he has already moved on. The forest becomes too thick, and he turns to make his way back upstream. I pull out my phone to take a photo. I watch as he slips on a mossy log over the water, grabs it with both hands and both feet, and rolls completely under, hanging like a baby chimpanzee beneath its mother's belly. The creek wets him from the collar of his t-shirt to the tops of his boots. "Let go," I say. And he does, rights himself, and wades out, flinging off water and laughing with joy at his soaked body. Back at the car, I suggest viewing the river from the road. We walk there, and he wants to go down to the water again. We descend beneath the road bridge to the piles of granite beneath. My son begins to launch the rocks into the river, seeming to enjoy this place and pastime even more than exploring the official park. Watching him, I remember how much time I spent as a child under bridges. Railroad bridges out of use, railroad bridges in use, road bridges. With my best friend, the neighbor boys, and my older sisters, I climbed over guardrails and jumped onto concrete pylons, followed their gentle declines, careful not to slip, to the riprap beneath, avoided snakes and poison ivy to cast my father's old fishing rod and plunge into deep, dark swimming holes. Once, my friend and I scientifically narrowed down from a patch of weeds near a particular bridge just which plant was making us itch. Our first time, like my son today, with stinging nettle. We touched it repeatedly, laughing gleefully at the plant's fierce but short-lived war against our skin. This, I think, is what my son needs more than anything. Not a hike with his plant-identifying mother on a recognized trail with a destination, but a bike, a friend, and bridges to climb under. He needs a rushing creek to receive his skipped stones, baited hooks, and half-clothed body. The adult world just a rumble above as cars pass to and fro toward unnecessary destinations, their hum an untranslatable language, like the mumbling of the parents in the classic Peanuts cartoon. And what I need is to be fearless and non-critical, to stop ignoring the waysides, to let my son's world expand to wherever he wishes, to as close or as far as he can pedal without me, to as high or as low as he wants to climb, to as large or as small and as secret a place as he can find.
Jill Sisson-Quinn is an author who teaches writing at Mid-State Technical College and lives in Scandinavia, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Mary Kate McCoy.